Is there a place of eternal punishment to those who continually and habitually refuse to keep God's commandments and refuse to repent and put their faith in Jesus Christ? Is there a place of eternal punishment? The reason today America's in such a mess is because there is no fear of God. And it's because preachers are too cowardly to get in the pulpit and preach this message. And sometimes even people make fun of a message like this, but you'll be making fun of it if you wind up in hell. Well, I don't believe in it. Well, Americans believe they can say, I don't believe in it, and that's going to change things. That doesn't change a single thing. We need to know what Jesus had to say about this. And I'm going to tell you, can you say amen? If you don't get up, walk out. If you get up, walk out, you may really wind up in the wrong place. We need to know what Jesus Christ had to say about this. We need to listen to him and not to secular humanist professors and secular humanist media nuts. You can't turn on the television now without humanism staring you right in the face, making fun of the far religious right. Don't let them kid you about that. They're talking about you. They're talking about born-again people who believe abortion is murder. That's what they're talking about. Abortion is their main thing. Americans will vote for no food on the table in order to get somebody that's going to protect abortion. That's how much they love their abortion, to kill babies. You cannot really be an intelligent human being and not know that human life is sacred. Well, it's just another animal. Anybody believes that don't have the ability to think. Humans have the ability to choose and make decisions about what they're going to do. It's called free will. Name an animal that has that. They all go by instinct. How does a cow know to nurse its baby? It's instinct. Humans have the ability to make decisions right and wrong. They have ability to do great mighty things because they're not animals. And murder, if you terminate a baby in a mother's womb, God sees it as murder. I'm not here to put condemnation on people who's already had an abortion. I'm just here to tell you, don't do it again. Ask God to forgive you and don't do it again. Mark 9:43 says, if your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than having two hands to go into hell, into the unquenchable fire. Why would you have unquenchable fire? Because you're going to live on after your body dies. Verse 45, if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than having your two feet to be cast into hell. Who is saying these terrible things? Jesus Christ. They're not terrible things. It's a warning. We have no choice in it. It's a warning. The only choice we have is accept Jesus Christ to miss it. Verse 47, if your eye causes you to stumble, throw it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell. He doesn't mean the amputation literally. He's not talking about cutting hands and feet off. He's talking about repenting of anything that could keep you out of heaven. Verse 48, where the worm does not die. I studied this pretty thoroughly. The bitter regret, guilt, remorse, and the torment of the soul will carry on even in hell. You'll be hating yourself because you allowed the devil to deceive you. Where the worm, the real person, will not die, and the fire is not quenched. The fire will never go out. And I was in a fairly liberal seminary, and one of the professors taught, well, when you hit hell, you burn up. Well, what good would unquenchable fire do if you burned up? It means eternal punishment. The moral of the story is, what Jesus is saying here, the moral of the story is, do whatever it takes to make sure you do not land in the lake of fire. Yes. Cut off or remove anything and everything that would doom you to hell. Isaiah 66:24, then they will go forth and look on the corpses of the men who have transgressed against me, who's broken my law. for their worm will not die and their fire will not be quenched. That's in Isaiah. And they will be an abhorrence to all mankind. Jesus may have been quoting this, where the worm does not die. This is a depiction of unquenchable punishment, and that's what it's about. It's not about fire, it's about unquenchable punishment. And it says the rich man was tormented in the flames. It doesn't say he's been burned by the flames. There's something in the flames tormenting him, and it's demons, I believe. Amen. You see, this is eternal punishment. Their pain will not end. Matthew chapter 3, verse 12. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clear his threshing floor, and he will gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. He's talking about those who will not serve God. There's a day of judgment coming. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Unquenchable pain that lasts forever. Well, I just don't believe it. Just don't take a chance. Don't take a chance. You see, my saddest funeral was a beauty queen killed in a car accident. She's living with her boyfriend, wasn't living a godly life, and everybody in that funeral home knew it. It was jam-packed full of young people, and I've never seen such depression on people in my life. It was the saddest place I've ever been in my whole life, I believe, and it was because they didn't have any hope. It was as if a dark cloud of doom overpowered the room, because people need to have hope. Matthew 10:28, do not fear those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul. And sometimes, I know some really teach the soul is all emotions and stuff, but sometimes the Bible does use soul in the place of spirit. And here's one of them. Do not fear those who kill the spirit, but are unable to kill the emotions. No, kill the real you, whatever you call it. You know, the inner man. Just call it the inner man. And the inner man is the worm that will be depressed because of remorse and guilt throughout all eternity. Well, if they're not, the person's not born again. But rather fear him who is able to destroy or condemn both soul and body to hell. That's what Jesus said. You need to have a healthy fear of God. And America doesn't have a healthy fear of God because there's too many preachers that will not preach this message, and they will answer to God for it. How can you stand back and let a whole nation go to hell, a whole world go to hell, and not warn them? My Bible says that the watchman in Ezekiel doesn't warn the people, their blood is going to be on him. And Paul says, there's no blood on my hands because I preached to you the truth. And there's not going to be any blood on my hands because I didn't preach the truth. Doesn't matter who gets mad, who likes it, who doesn't like it. I'm concerned about no blood on my hands. Matthew 10:28, do not fear those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul, the spirit, the real you, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul, spirit, and body in hell. The word destroyed, this word destroy, does not mean to annihilate. Well, he just be annihilated. That's not what he says. Nowhere does the Bible say a man's inner being will be terminated, no matter what you call it. Apolasia, which is the word here for destroy, means purpose ruined, like an old wine skin that breaks. And boy, if you wind up in hell, you're ruined, you're finished, that's the end, but you're still alive. And don't say you don't believe it, because don't take a chance. Make sure you're right with God. Serving God is the only way to go anyway. If there was no heaven or hell, I'd still serve God, because I'm greatly blessed and benefited from it. In hell, all hope is gone. That's what he's talking about. Every person will stand before the judge and receive justice. Matthew 27:32, all the nations will be gathered before him, before Jesus Christ, and he will separate them from one another. as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. It's very plain. All of us are going to stand before him, sheep and goats. Verse 33, and he will put the sheep on his right and the goats on the left. Verse 34, then the king will say to those on the right, come, you who are blessed of my father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Verse 41, then he will also say to those on his left, depart from me, accused ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. How can God send people to hell? He doesn't. He created hell for the devil and his angels. But if you hang out with the devil, serve him and obey him, let him be your master, you're going to go where he goes. It's your choice. Who is hell prepared for? He didn't create hell for me. He created that for the devil. But a person who rebels and will accept Christ will not live by the commandments. And keeping the commandments really is really important. And that's what I'm preaching, absolutes, keeping God's commandments. Listen, it says a born-again person's heart's reprogrammed. They become a new creation in Christ. The law of God is in your heart. And you will keep the law because it's in you, but you will keep the law. The Ten Commandments, God's basic law. All the ritual of the law, all the feasts and all that stuff is fulfilled in Christ. Circumcision is fulfilled in Christ. And all that's fulfilled in Christ. He fulfilled the legalism of the law. But the commandments that keep us from harming each other and harming ourselves is given to us for our good always, and that has not passed away. And all the Ten Commandments is already proven to you. All the Ten Commandments are repeated in the New Testament, in case you have doubt about that. Well, they're irrelevant. Well, why is it irrelevant for a person not to kill you? Why is it irrelevant for a person not to steal your car sitting out there in the parking lot? See, we make all these crazy statements and never even think. Human beings have the ability to think. You may want to turn your thinker on. Who is hell prepared for? Not for you. He said, these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. That makes it as plain as a nose on your face. That's what Jesus said. If that's not true, maybe nothing else he said is true. There are curses because they chose a curse. I didn't say that right. They are cursed because they chose a curse. People go to hell because they chose it. Paul says very plainly, just because the creation, a man has no excuse. You can't look around this world and not know there's a God. Now, it doesn't tell you how to get saved, but if you know there's a God, you're going to start looking. You're going to start looking and trying to figure it out. We are righteous and keep his commandments because they are written in our hearts who are born again believers. If you're habitually practicing sin, you're just probably not born again. I said habitually. A Christian sin, but I'm talking about it's your lifestyle and that's just the way you live every day. Using God's name in vain every day, trying to shack up with everybody's wife every day, and trying to figure out a way to steal and cheat. There's something wrong. Now, Luke 16, verse 19. Now there was a rich man. He habitually dressed in purple. Now people say, well, that's a parable. Well, it's really not. Because it names Lazarus. Parables didn't give names. But even if it is a parable, parables are given to present a truth. The truth is, let's see what it is. Now there was a rich man, and he habitually dressed in purple and fine linen, joyously living in splendor every day. There's a lot of big shots today strutting around. They're not saved. We need to do everything we can. How many know big shots need to get saved too? Verse 20. And a poor man named Lazarus, there it is, gave his name, was laid at his gate. See, this is something Jesus knew happened. And covered with sores, and longing to be fed with the crumbs which were falling from the rich man's table. Besides, even the dogs were coming and licking his sores. You see, the rich man was not feeding Lazarus, or he would not be longing for crumbs. Jesus said, I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. It's time Christians started living like Christians. We need to be good Samaritans. It doesn't mean what the color is. It doesn't mean what their creed or code is. We are their political party. Yes, we need to love everybody and help everybody and bless everybody in every way we can if they really need our help. It doesn't mean you're going to let people con you, but they really need your help, and you know it, you need to help them. Amen. If you can. Verse 22, now the poor man died and was carried away by the angels to Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also died and was buried. If you're a born-again believer and you die, you're going to be escorted by angels into the presence of God. But what is heaven? It's the presence of God. Don't worry about anything else. This is what happens when a Christian dies. The angels escort him to heaven. Verse 23, here's what happens according to Jesus. This is the truth of the story. This is the heart of the story. In Hades, in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. And I know theologians make a big deal of Hades and Gehenna and all of that, but it still illustrates a truth. And then the end, it says plainly that hell, Hades, and everything else will be cast into the lake of fire. It's the lake of fire. Whatever you believe about Hades or hell, Jesus said it is a place of torment. Don't let these theologians trick you with their foolishness, because they, in many cases, are instruments of Satan. And he saw this rich man and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus in his bosom. Well, there's a place called Abraham's bosom. That's ridiculous. It's not talking about a, that's not the name of heaven or paradise or anything else. He saw, the rich man saw Lazarus leaning, that's the way they ate, leaning over on Abraham's bosom. That's what, how people get this all messed up. It's the devil. He saw into heaven, and he saw Lazarus having dinner with Abraham. And that's what he saw. The place is the presence of God. Abraham's in the presence of God. Amen. My goodness, how hard can something simple be? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And he cried out and said, Father Abraham. You see, the rich man was a Jew. Well, Jews don't go to heaven. They don't go to hell. They all go to heaven. This one didn't. This one didn't. He knew who Abraham was. Father Abraham. Have mercy on me and send Lazarus so that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool off my tongue, for I am in agony or tormented in this flame. He was tormented within the flame. That even say the flame was burning. I don't know what. And I don't speculate on everything, but I do know that there's demons, and I believe they're going to be working on you when they get you. Amen. Jesus. Lord, help me to preach this right. But Abraham said, child, remember that during your life you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus bad things, but now he is being comforted here, and you're in agony. It doesn't matter what you're going through now. Just make it to heaven. Just make it to heaven. Verse 26, and besides all this, between us and you, there is a great chasm, a great gulf fixed, as the King James says, so that those who wish to come over from here to you will not be able, and that whom may cross, and that none may cross over from where from there to us. No one will be able to cross that that chasm, that gulf. And the rich man, you're going to stay where you are, and Lazarus is going to stay where he is. And he said, then I beg you, Father, that you, here's some of that remorse, that you send him to my father's house. Listen, after you're dead and gone, what about your loved ones? You're not going to be able to come and minister to them after you're gone. It's right now the time to fast and pray for your loved ones. They'll get saved and born again. And it's not you trying to force it down their throat. It's praying until God brings them under conviction. No man comes to the Father except the Spirit draw him. Sometimes we really mess up by trying to really force people to get saved. We need to pray them under conviction. And then God would help us or somebody to get them saved. He says, for I have five brothers. I have four of those rascals myself. Mama had five boys and three girls. I was the oldest, and I got all the looks. Tell Ronnie I said that. He's around here somewhere. He's not going to agree with that. Here's a warning that your loved ones may go to hell with you. You don't think it's important to go to church, take your kids to church? You need to think about where they're going to spend eternity. Well, I don't need to take them to church. Oh, really? If it's a church where they've been taught the Word of God, like Sister Dottie back there teaching, you need to have your kids back there. Amen. I won't bring my kids in here. Most people don't, but they're better off back there. Some say this is just a parable, but parables were given to present a truth. The truth is there's eternal punishment for those who will not serve the Lord. The truth that Jesus is, we're talking about absolutes, and the theme of this message is hell is an absolute for sure place. The truth that Jesus is presenting is that there is a place of torment. However, this is a true story. We need to warn people who are still alive that there is a place of torment as God gives the opportunity. I asked the Lord once. I had this preacher come. This is years ago. I think we probably still at the Ramada Inn. And he said he had a vision of hell. And he said it made me want to be a great soul winner. And he was talking about how he had a great vision to be a soul winner because he had a vision of hell. I said, Lord, give me a vision of hell. And he spoke to me clear as day. He says, the only vision of hell you're going to get is Lazarus and the rich man. Whoa. And when he said that, it became my vision. I could see it. I'm telling you, there is a real hell. I've got my own revelation from that right there. And this is it, Lazarus and the rich man. I don't believe it. You will. The day's coming. You will, because it is real. I asked the Lord for a vision, and it was right there in the Bible. Homer Keithen's grandfather, Homer's a very good friend of mine, is a great preacher, and years ago he preached in his church several times. And he told me this story about his great-grandfather. He was a very wicked man. And people tried to get him saved, and he made fun of them. He wouldn't have nothing to do with it. He thought it was funny. There is no hell, no heaven, no nothing. He died saying, the devil's imps have come to take me to hell. Don't you see them? Help me. They're all over my bed. Don't you see them? Help me. Help me. And that's the way he died. I don't think you won't die that way. He waited too late to ask for help. You need to ask for help from Jesus Christ today. If you don't know you're going to heaven, you'd ask him to come to your life, change and transform you, make you into the person he wants you to be. Well, it's too hard living for God. No, it's not. If you let him take over your life, he'll help you. He'll help you pay the bills. You see, he's still screaming today, help me, help me, help me, but help's not coming. Those who practice unrighteousness and will not repent will be punished forever and ever. Practice living an ungodly, habitual lifestyle will not repent. Revelation 12:11 says, and the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever. They have no rest day and night. They're not annihilated, you know. Those who worship the beast and their image, and whoever receives the mark of his name, verse 12, here is the perseverance of the saints who keep the commandments of God and their faith in Jesus Christ. If you truly have a born-again faith in Jesus Christ, your heart will be programmed with the commandments, and it won't be hard to keep his commandments, the Ten Commandments. Why so hard about not stealing and killing and committing adultery? And a few other things. This says we must live by God's commandments and keep our faith in Jesus. There is there's not a single verse, rather, that says eternal punishment will stop. Find it. People theologians and preachers sometimes try to make it up with all their little theories, but they won't find that verse. It's not there. This is forever and ever. Once again, why take a chance? Accept Jesus Christ today. You're not going to lose anything. You're going to gain everything. Amen. Revelations 20:10. And the devil who deceived them, who's deceiving people? Maybe some people right here in this room. The devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone. He wants you in hell with him. The devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophets are also, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Don't get hung up on just the beast and the false prophets, because it says plainly, all those people on his left will go into that lake of fire with them, prepared for the devil and his angels. Jesus made it very clear. Every person who's not born again is going in that fire. Well, that is so cruel. How could a loving God do that? A loving God sent his son to die for you that you don't have to go to hell. Amen. That ought to give you a clue right there. There's a hell. Why would he come and sacrifice himself for your salvation if there was no hell? Verse 11, then I saw a great white throne and him who sat upon it. Who would that be? Jesus. It says plainly, he's the judge. He's the Savior right now, and he's your Lord right now. But on that day, he's going to be the judge. And it's going to be too late. Verse 12, and I saw the dead, the great and the small, even all the big shots, everybody, standing before the throne. And books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. We just need to be sure our name is in that book of life today, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the book according to their deeds. We're going to be judged according to their deeds. Well, I'm born again. I don't have to worry about my deeds. If you're born again, your deeds are going to line up. Adrian Rogers, one of the greatest Baptist preachers I know, he believed in eternal security, but he said, if you claim to be born again and you're living an ungodly life, you're not born again. Yeah. Period. I can handle that. If you're born again, your life's going to change. You may get tempted. You still live in the flesh. See, people have a hard time remembering this. The spirit man is born again and changed, but you still have this flesh that still likes ice cream. But do you have a problem with ice cream? Okay, let me get plain. You still like sex. But it's the right way and the wrong way. According to God. Yeah. Amen. So I don't have a problem with ice cream. Amen. Verse 13. Somebody asked me once, do you have a problem with ice cream? I love the stuff, you know. Verse 13. But even there, you need to have a little temperance. Self-control. Verse 13, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Listen now, this gets really, it's all been here in your Bible. It's in your Bible, been there all the time. And the sea gave up the dead which were in them, and death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every one of them, according to their deeds. And what was their deeds? Breaking God's commandments. Verse 14, then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. There you have it. No matter what you believe about that, it's all going to be dumped into that lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire, verse 15. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire, period, end of conversation. All will be judged. The second death is not annihilation. It is eternal torment. These have the same fate as the devil, the beast, and the false prophets. Betty Green was a stripper, and she called herself Satan's very own mistress. She made a lot of money, but she died during surgery and stepped out of her body into the presence of Satan, and he had deceived her, and he was laughing at her, ha, ha, ha. And she said, you lied to me, devil. You said there's no hell and there's no life after death. You lied to me. And all of a sudden, she was falling straight down into hell. She could see people being tormented, horrible things happening in the flames of hell. And all of a sudden, her body rolled over, and a stream of light came and went into her, and she woke up in her body. And the first thing she did, she got saved, turned her life over to Jesus Christ, started traveling across the country. She came here with Dr. Cho from Soul Career's mother-in-law. She testified in this very church that she had a hell experience, and nobody wants to go there. She was preaching it. And then I discovered this book, A Day in Hell, by Tate Publishing. It's the story of Matthew Botsford. He was interviewed by CBN. He was shot and killed on a business trip to Atlanta. He went to a place he calls hell. He heard awful screams emanating from the depth of hell. None of the screams were intelligible, just cries of pain, loss, and anguish. He was suspended over a deep, glowing red abyss. Demons were in the midst of hell tormenting the people who were there, and that's what I really believe. It's not just the flames. The demons of hell is clawing at you, tormenting you forever if you go there. The hand, then he said, this hand came down toward me. I was being pulled upwards. Now, you can look this up. It's called A Day in Hell. I looked it up. You can look it up. You don't have to take my word for anything. I know you're not going to anyway. You better not. This hand came down toward me. I was being pulled upwards. I heard the voice say, "It is not your time." And I'm sure he was saying, "Thank God." But a friend of his that was with him was shot and killed on the spot. Where's he? He never came back. Matthew still has some paralysis on his left side. He says, "I still have deficits, but I was spiritually dead, and that bullet brought me to such a great life. I would never have known Jesus." He's thanking God for that experience. His wife, Nancy, when she was informed of Matthew's condition, neither of them were Christians or serving God. They believed in God casually, like most Americans, but that won't get you to heaven. When she was informed of Matthew's condition in the hospital, she said, "I was just losing it." She was just about to go into shock herself. That's when I felt the heavy hand of, I felt this heavy hand on my right shoulder. She thought it was a person. She whirled around to see who it was. I felt this pull back, and I turned around. There was nobody there. And I knew it was Jesus. She was not a believer, but right then she became a believer in Jesus Christ. They both didn't make a commitment to the Lord immediately, but lately they did, and later they did, and now they're serving God with all their hearts. God used this to bring them in. What's it going to take to bring our loved ones in? I think it's going to take us praying day and night. This is not just about you, ladies and gentlemen. This is about our loved ones, about the people we care about. Let's all stand.